Wait, ew, wait, hold on.
What?
Wait, hold on. You're what's going on? What's happening?
What? What's happening?
What's going on?
I don't know. You tell me.
Well, I just Thomas, what? Thomas, what are we? Why are they doing that? Thomas?
Is that a penis?
What is that?
Thomas, is that a penis?
So this is just a performance of the couple that came in a half an hour late. By the way, you're a few minutes late for a movie. Like if I'm missing the opening credits, I will like cancel my movie plan. If I'm late to a movie, I like don't want to go. I'll be like, what? I potentially might sit through a 2-hour thing and not know what's happening.
Right.
What a waste of my time.
Like a callback to the, you know, whatever.
I will cancel it. But to go a half an hour late into a movie, why bother? You've missed all the context.
Yeah, I
to
feel
me.
Like I've been late to a movie, but it was like within the first minute. And I was like, okay,
yeah,
fine,
it sucks,
fine.
But you might endure it.
Yeah.
I'm just saying what I would do, but you sometimes it's just like, ah, fuck. Well,
yeah.
Hey, this is what I'm doing. Deal with it.
You know, I think, honestly, not to sound so busy and important, I'm not, but I am very busy. And it's like, for me to even see this movie was like, oh, shit, how am I going to do this?
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I had to figure it out. So if I was late to this movie, I would have stuck it out. And I'm like, I'm seeing it.
But I will say that to be late for this, you would have to have been like, the trailers are like
so
half an hour.
Many fucking
so
trailers.
If you're a half an hour deep into the movie when you walk in,
yeah,
you are an hour late. What are you doing?
Yeah.
If you're a little late to a movie, I understand. But an hour? Like, find other plans at that point. That's
my
two cents.
Definitely true. And so, I will say in my theater, you know, I saw it after we did the podcast.
Yes.
And it was later in the evening. I think it was like a 9:20 showing.
Yes.
And yeah, the movie didn't really start until like, 9:45, maybe 9:50. It was, yeah, so many fucking trailers.
Yeah.
And yeah, people were late to my theater too. They were like, I would say,
oh man,
I would say at least 25 minutes late. And it's like, what is that? That's like 10
I'll tell,
show?
I will tell you what it is. Kevin will back me up on this, but Kevin closed the door. He's not,
he doesn't want to hear
spoilers. He hasn't
movie.
Seen it. I'll tell you exactly what that is and why they were so late. I know exactly why.
Why?
And tell me, people at home, comment on Patreon or wherever you're watching this. Well, you better just be watching it on Patreon. If you're watching it somewhere else,
turn it off.
Yeah, then turn it off and pay the cost.
Unless we somehow ended up putting it up on like iTunes.
That's
we
true.
That
That's what I was referring to. iTunes. Or it's not even iTunes anymore. It's Apple Podcasts. Did you know, by the way, it is iTunes. You could still get iTunes on Windows. They literally announced yesterday they're breaking that up.
Really?
For their music app, just like they did this on Mac years ago. Music app, podcast app, Apple TV app. Like they're all separate things.
Well, now I know the Apple TV store is like a thing.
Like
before it was just like the iTunes store, but
yeah,
now it's Apple TV store.
Anyway, this is why people are that late to the movie, because I've been noticing people doing this thing. And I don't blame them, but you can't fall for this. People I know are like, oh, you know, like I'll be like, hey, guys, the movie, we're going to go see Everything Everywhere All at Once. It's at 7 p.m. Let's go. And then you always got that friend. Well, the trailers are going to be at least 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we don't even need to get there till 7:20. And I'm always like, no. I hate the trailers. Don't get me wrong. But I need to be in the seat when it says to be in the seat. I don't want to fuck around with that. Because that always happens, is you go, oh, 7:20. At that point, you've thrown the rules out. And when you're with friends or whatever, when it doesn't matter if you're there by the ticketed time, that's when you start missing shit. Because then it's like, oh, 7:20. Oh, the trailers actually weren't that long. Oh, okay. Oh, they were actually, I thought it was going to be like 40 minutes of trailers. Oh, well, it looks like we missed a part of the movie. I'm sorry, you got to just get there
when
it says the time.
I do think so. Again, I came for the podcast, and we were kind of chit-chatting here after the show, talking about what we're going to do on Monday, whatever. And so, yeah, I'm like, oh, shit, I got to go. And so,
yeah.
But I was hungry, so I got a burrito and then drove to the theater. And I probably sat down. The trailers had started.
Yeah.
I bought my ticket for the 9:20 show at like 9:22. But I had and I was still fucking
but
bored
you're
by
good.
The trailers.
But you were still aiming to get there by the time.
Yeah.
So if you are a couple minutes late, you're good.
Oh, I was very good.
Yeah.
I was too good.
Because exactly.
I was like, I start the fucking movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I'm just saying when you throw the rules out, that's when you start missing shit.
Sure,
you start getting sloppy.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't leave your house until the show starts.
Yeah. I know people that are just like, don't even worry about getting there until 9:20 or whatever. And it's like, you know, or 9:40.
Not that I condone that. I mean, it's like the fucking trailers are so, it's so long.
That's why I'm saying I understand that people do it because they are so long. I remember the bout of trailers before Rise of Skywalker.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Was the worst. Yeah. It was like, hey, we're going on like 38 minutes. Get the fucking movie started. And you were like, you had to leave.
I had to leave because my kids had a half day and I'm picking from school that day. And I remember being like, well, the movie is X, you know,
it was a 2 hour
let's
movie.
Let's say 2 hours.
Yeah.
Okay. That means I'll have, you know, I'll count, you know, 20 minutes of trailers. Okay. So I will have a buffer of 20 minutes to get the kids. That should be fine. It was like,
they were blowing past that.
It was like, ta-dum, I gotta go. And I ran out. Like the second it said directed by J.J. Abrams, I ran out the door. Like, I'm gonna be fucking late.
It's rare that I ever write to a company. You know, I'm not trying to be Karen over here.
Yeah.
That was the day I wrote a thing to Regal. I was like, I'm gonna go to your theater less if you do that.
Yeah.
Like this was a bad day for everybody.
I really feel like it's, I'll give you ideally 3 trailers.
Yes.
3. I'll give you 4. I'll be nice and say fine 4. But that is the max.
Yeah.
I don't need to see. Like, there was a trailer for a kids movie in front of what we watched.
Yeah.
I'm watching Poor Things.
Poor Things. Well, they got baby brain, you know?
I just like.
That's part of it.
You don't need to show every single movie that's coming to the theater. I don't need to see every single one.
You know what we need again? We need a cultural reset because you know what happened is they were getting really bad in the 90s.
Yeah.
And then you remember what happened? In 99, George Lucas stepped in.
That's right.
And see, he had, this is what was so awesome. At that point in time, we'll get to Poor Things in another episode. George Lucas was the one guy that everyone listened to. He had the biggest movie coming. And this is what was so awesome. Is he owned it completely himself, made by himself, didn't answer to anybody except Fox would distribute it.
Sure.
And he told Fox and the theaters, hey, if there's more than 3 trailers, you're not getting the movie. He could do that.
Yeah.
He's like, there's too many. People are tired by the time my movie hits.
That's true.
And he did that. And I remember, I don't know if you remember this, seeing it in theaters, Fox made a trailer that was like 3 trailers in one because that was, it counted.
They got, okay.
It was like, okay, if we can only do 3 trailers, it was Fox bringing you the biggest movies of 99, Fight Club, the new movie with Brad Pitt, and this other movie, robots coming, it wasn't robots, but it was something like that.
Yeah.
And, which I remember my dad in the theaters going, Fight Club? Yeah. Flop.
Yeah.
Anyway, so they had to meet that demand. And then for a while, we had it good. There weren't that many trailers.
Yeah.
It was like, hey, that scene is uncool to do that.
It's uncool to do that. And also, as we've complained about many times, the movies today are 3 hours plus a lot of times.
Yes.
So now if I'm watching 40 minutes of trailers, I'm in the theater for 4 hours.
My ass is tired.
I'm just, get me out of this place.
Yeah, I don't want to, I'm hating it.
And now you want me to stay for the posting credits? Fuck off. I'm not doing that.
Yeah. Movies are falling into video game rules where, no longer! Go more!
Yeah, no thank you.
And I just can't get behind that. What was a movie I just saw the other night that it was like, that was perfect? Oh, how long was it? 90 minutes. It was perfect. No, what was it? Something I just saw recently. In the maybe I saw it. No. I saw it at the New Beverly. I went there. I saw. Fuck. What was I just there to see? God damn it. I can't remember.
Poor Things.
No, there was something. I don't remember.
You're
killing
never
me.
Gonna get it. Yeah.
A little wasted.
You
got
to go to
up.
My mindset. And when you can't remember it, just, you know, chalk up the loss. It's not coming to you.
Yeah.
You'll never get it. And just move on. It's way better that way. He's looking it up. I'm telling you.
Seeing what I bought tickets for.
You got to accept it and just be like, you know what? This is not going to happen. We're never going to know. We'll move on. It's fine. You know, no one.
Trainspotting! Trainspotting! Barely 90 minutes, right?
I mean, yeah.
Good movie.
Yeah. It was
90 minutes. Done. And I felt like I went through a whole lifetime with those guys.
You did. Too much. Okay. Anyway. Let's bathroom talk. Trainspotting.
Let's All right. Poor things. Shakers. Let's do it.
I like that's our new. I say your new thing. Every movie club, I think you say Shakers. Let's do it before we talk about the movie.
Yeah, and then you want to keep going. So I'm the okay. You want to make it longer. You, Mr. Make It Short over here.
That's not what I said.
On everything you just said, movies. They go on too long. Our last one was like an hour and a half.
That was good. I thought we covered two movies.
I thought it was shit.
Mm. Well, speaking of shit, we watched the worst movie I've ever seen, Poor Things.
Oh, wow.
No, that's not true.
Poor Things is what I call the people who bought the ticket.
This movie, I was really unsure of.
Yeah.
You know, I loved The Favorite.
Yeah, I really like The Favorite.
I haven't seen his other movies, though. I saw The Favorite.
No, just The Favorite.
Liked it a lot. And I honestly love Emma Stone, and she's a great actress. So, you know, I was definitely interested in this movie. I heard a lot of like people either love it or they hate it. You know, like a lot of like back and forth, but more towards love it.
I don't know a lot of people who saw the whole thing and went, "Wow, that didn't work." For me, it was either people loved it or they were repulsed and like turned it off, or like, "Oh my God, forget it."
Now I will say,
immediately we're done with it.
This movie did not hold back in any way at all.
That's what surprised me about it. I didn't know anything about it going in.
Yeah, I mean, that would definitely surprise me. Because I did know, like, yeah, people are walking out. Like, people are like, she touches a cadaver's penis and they leave. It's like,
no,
what?
I
what are you talking about?
I didn't know it was going to be as far as it was.
Yeah, but it went so far that you almost had to laugh at some things. Like, Jesus Christ. The aesthetic for me, and this, maybe I'm wrong, Rocco.
Mm-hmm.
It was like if this movie took place in the same world as Babe, Pig in the City, I would believe it.
It was that, what do you call that style?
I don't know.
I'm sure there's a way.
I'm struggling. Like, I don't know what the aesthetic is there. But like,
yeah, but it's like, what is that? Surreal? I know there's a name for this type of filmmaking. Is it like Nouveau? What is it?
I don't know.
All
the sets and all like the stuff, you could have told me like this is just happening in a different part of the world, in the same world.
In
the Babeverse. I would believe it.
Yeah. All very surreal, all on a set kind of, you could have shot a new Wonka movie like this. Almost,
yeah.
Like if you wanted to, but, everything's very exaggerated and bizarre.
But like this movie, like it went so weird, and I am not smart enough to tell you why in some scenes it went so weird, you know, like black and white to color. We just covered that in, Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Got it. But this is like, we're going to use the craziest fisheye you've ever seen here.
Oh, but you know what? Yeah, you know what?
Huh.
It's just hitting me and this is probably going to be no duh to some people, but just occurred to me that, when she was just at home, it was all black and white, and there's nothing really exaggerated about their house or inside. It was, you know, they would shoot it with weird lenses sometimes because it was just...
The lenses were odd,
but the set really wasn't, and it's only when she goes out and branches out and goes out with that dude and
she
explores
the world
that it's all like, because that's probably how she feels. Right. It's like she's leaving and this is fucking like someone put LSD in your Lucky Charms. Yeah. Just whoa.
Yeah.
So that's making sense now. I just didn't think about it.
Yeah. But you know, the choice of like using the fisheye a couple of times, like I have no problem with it. Like, but it was like, oh, weird. I will say what struck me right off the bat was the film style and how you really couldn't get comfortable. Because it was like a weird fisheye shot, and then it's like stabbing eyeballs and touching cadavers' penises, and the score was fucking wild.
Yes, and I was gonna say that too. I haven't heard. Is that nominated?
I don't know. I hope so. Let me see.
Because that should win. This is the only movie score that I left in the last year that I went, well, never heard anything like that before.
Never heard anything like it, and it made the fucking movie even better.
I agree.
But it was so unnerving.
It really was. It just added to the bizarre energy in the room.
Yeah. How would you find out if it was nominated?
I would look up like Oscar nominations. Oscar nominations 2024.
Yeah.
And I bet you it'll be on there. What I was going to say, maybe this is a hot take. Music, original score, Poor Things, Jessica Fendricks. Yep, it's right there.
What else is nominated? What other movies?
Oppenheimer.
Okay, that was good.
Had a good score, and it did win at, I think, Golden Globes. I think that won. But
you know, a lot of times Golden Globes broken into comedy and...
Oh, that's great.
So I don't know if that's...
This was in a different... music. I don't know.
In the same or different.
I don't know. Oppenheimer's score was great. But I would say this was way more unique.
Yes.
Killers of the Flower Moon. That had a...
That was good, too.
That had some... Yeah. Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny.
I did not like that one. That's what he said.
Hey, John Williams, I'll give him props, but that was not his best. No. And American Fiction, never saw that. Don't know anything about that.
I think the guy from Westworld is in it. I think.
Oh.
I don't.
Yeah.
That doesn't matter.
But that music was incredible. I have a hot take on it. Uh-oh. Tell me again. Leave a comment. Tell me if I'm being nutty here. All right. Mm-hmm. But they've been talking about a live action Zelda movie.
Okay.
This guy should score it.
I was listening.
It gave me vibes of like if there was live action Zelda, this would be the score. I don't know why I was thinking that during this, but just weird things coming out of the ground in a temple and guardian coming out of the thing. This guy could score it.
It's fucking wild to me. Mm-hmm. This guy, Jerkson Fendricks, is the guy who scored it.
Okay.
He's born in 95, dude. Can you believe that shit?
Damn.
Can you believe that shit?
Damn.
Fucking. He started doing this shit in 2018. Wow. Like, how? What? I mean,
wow.
God damn, dude. That's wild. He collaborated with artist Black Midi on the song Ice Cream. But how would they get him for this? I don't know. I don't know why they thought of him for this, but that was the right choice. This guy fucking killed it.
Haunting. Yeah.
It was haunting. And it made you never really feel safe.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I really like the music in this.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's talk about the movie a little bit. So when this movie came out this year, obviously, but I think it debuted, they couldn't get in time for Cannes or something. So they... Mm. Where did they debut it? Venice International Film Festival on September 1st. It won the Golden Lion, which is the highest award it could have won. And I think the director got a huge ovation. But maybe I'm incorrect here, but I think he was the only one there because of the strike. So I don't think anyone else was there.
No, that makes sense, yeah.
But I thought it was interesting that Emma Stone was a producer for this as well with the director.
Yeah.
And had a huge, I guess they started working on this during COVID. And it was both of them making phone calls trying to get a cast going and trying to figure all this out.
Wow.
So she had a huge role in the movie besides just her acting, which is, we'll get into
that.
That's
awesome.
But yeah, this really is like, you know, this guy and her movie.
And let me just say, regardless of anything else we say about the movie, whether we like it or not, she has ascended.
Mm-hmm.
Emma Stone is. I mean, she's always been good. She's always been good.
I can't think of somebody she sucked in. Yeah.
Yeah. Really. But like, as of now, I would say she's upper echelon. Mm-hmm. Like, she's producing this, and how far she fucking goes in it, mm-hmm. holds nothing back. Mm-hmm. She's not. Oh, let me do this because I'm modest about. Nope. I'm not even talking about just nude scenes. I mean, just vulnerability in every category, in every type. In addition to producing the fucking movie, you know, that's she's ascended.
I was just thinking, like, I've never seen a case of an actor trusting the director more than this.
Yeah.
Same with Mark Ruffalo.
Yeah.
Where it's like, you are putting yourself out there to make, it could be the dumbest movie ever and you will look like a fool, but you just are putting your whole heart and faith into this director thing. I believe in you. We're going to get through this.
Yeah.
And like, that is what I saw, where it's like, oh man, like, she couldn't have gone for it any harder than what she did. It was insane.
Above and beyond.
Above and beyond.
Yeah.
I would be extremely disappointed if she doesn't win Best Actress. And I thought, I mean, I haven't seen all the nominees in their roles.
Yeah.
I thought, who was in Killers of the Flower Moon? I forget her name.
Lily Gladstone.
She's great. She was great.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't, you know, like, I would be happy for her. You think it's going to be her?
I think it's going to be her.
You do?
Yeah.
Well, again.
And
if it's her, cheating her.
I'm torn. I'm torn.
I don't know. I think Emma Stone did so good in this.
I'm torn because I think Emma Stone fucking put nose to the grindstone on this. She probably put in the most work of any fucking actor on that stage or at that show. But Lily Gladstone has the story is there.
Yeah.
She, Native American, was about to quit acting, got an email. Hey, just try out. You should try out for this. Did it. Did a fucking great job. Was up there with all the greats and held her own in a Scorsese. I think.
You know what? Yeah. I don't know. It. I mean.
But she was really good. Emma Stone was so good.
I've never seen someone go so hard in a movie than Emma Stone did in this movie.
Yeah.
And
I agree.
She couldn't. I don't know. Like
I don't know what's. I don't know.
I can't
what's gonna happen.
Tell you. I mean, man or woman, I can't think of a movie where someone's like, "Damn, whoa!" I mean, I guess like Daniel Day-Lewis gets really into roles.
Well, I feel like I feel like they gave DiCaprio the Oscar after The Revenant.
Yeah.
You're seeing this guy crawl through fucking shit for a mile and then hide in a dead deer and eat fucking raw meat, and he's going to do the thing. It was like, just give him the fucking Oscar. Yeah. Jesus, this guy has suffered. Not that it's the same thing here, but I got a little bit of that feeling when it was over. I was like, damn, that whole fucking movie and everything she did, just give it to her.
Also,
but like, she also has already won.
Oh, you think that'll influence people? I can
maybe,
see that.
You know, like, hey, is she not awarded enough? You know, I don't know. But I think she deserves for this more than La La Land. She's great in La La Land, but she earned it more here.
Definitely earns it more here.
Yeah, yeah,
for sure. But I think DiCaprio earned it more in other movies than Revenant.
But you just it's an honor. It's an honor Oscar. It's like, right. Yo, after all this shit, can we just give him the fucking Oscar? Yeah. So
well, you know, I love doing Movie Club normally, but I especially love it in February.
Agreed.
We do the Oscars.
Totally
stuff.
Agree.
And I never see these movies otherwise, and I wouldn't see them probably otherwise. And I do love movies. That's why we fucking do this show.
See, I don't.
Oh no.
I hate movies. I'm more of a music hip hop dude.
You know, a lot of times we would just have these conversations in private and it's like, we just record it.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
I don't know why we don't just put this out there.
March 10th is the Oscar. I was actually looking
March
up
10th.
when it is. March 10th.
Okay. Anyway. You know, I thought usually in February. Maybe I'm crazy.
They announce the nominees a lot of times in February.
Maybe
but
that's
not,
what it
not,
is.
So
I do think, so it's nominated for 11 Oscars, which is the second most behind Oppenheimer. I do think it will win somewhere. It has to win something. Like, even if it's just like cinematography or the costumes.
The production shit, it's got it on lock.
You know what? The costumes, when, I don't remember which dress it was. I think it was maybe the dress when she kills herself. And we'll go through the plot in a second.
Spoiler.
Yeah, the spoiler of the first 13 seconds of the movie. But it's like her blue dress with these sleeves, and it couldn't be more layered and intricate.
Yeah.
It's like, how the fuck did you make that?
Yeah.
And if I'm thinking that, that's a pretty good costume.
Yeah,
you know?
Totally. I do want to say one last Oscar-related thing.
Yeah.
You know, people do, I think I saw an article about this or something, so I don't know if I'm ripping off this thought from somebody, but people always have that thing. Do the Oscars matter? I mean, really, the Oscars, do they matter? Awards don't matter. But I have to say, when it comes to the Oscars, you know, they announced the nominees, and then this movie got a bump.
Oh.
This movie rose up the box office thing. There's a few other movies. Oppenheimer came back in theater and, like, still is making money. It's still, that is the one award show that I don't know about other ones, but that,
no,
it still means something.
This one means something. And
yeah.
I think the being nominated, like, Best Picture, I think has been watered down because there's so many nominees.
Yeah.
But the nominees who have, or the films that have the most nominations.
Yeah.
The top like three or four always get a bump. And this never really got a major release.
Yeah.
Until the nominations came out, and then it was put everywhere.
Yeah.
And it wasn't in theaters for that
and
long.
And people came to it. Like,
they did.
Yeah.
And like, you know, it was in like our local theaters for like, you know, a week, 2 weeks maybe. Mm. And that was it. And it's gone now again. But it wasn't going to be there. Unless it all, but you know, Poor Things is nominated 11 times. And now I'm sure the producers, Emma Stone, is like, Okay, so you can't watch this anywhere? You can't, like, you can't buy it.
Yeah.
You can't rent it. You can't stream it. You can't see it in the theaters. We gotta put it back in theaters. They're like,
yeah.
Or what the fuck? People want to see this movie. So they did. And so, yeah, the movie, you know, it relatively was a cheaper movie. It cost $35 million to make. And so far, it's made about $80
million. Okay.
So they made their money back. You know, but a movie like this was never going to be a billion-dollar movie.
Right, right, right.
This, I think $80 million probably was, like, they're aiming for that. I would guess. I don't know. So, yeah, I don't know if you want to go into more about the...
The story, I think, is probably... You can get to it.
I will say that I read a lot of things about Mark Ruffalo in this movie. I don't know if you know anything about that. But he was really hesitant to do this movie.
Yeah. I did hear something like that.
I think he kind of feels like his career is over a little bit, which is interesting because I never got that vibe from him. I guess
I don't think about him one way or another. I don't like love him and I don't hate him. Just like, okay, if he's good.
I always root for him though.
Oh, really?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
There are actors out there that I'm always like, I hope you do well. And maybe I don't even think I see his movies.
Yeah.
You know, like Paul Rudd. I always want Paul Rudd to do well. I don't have any stake in
Paul
this.
Rudd I feel stronger about than Mark Ruffalo. I don't know. Mark Ruffalo, I just...
Something about him.
Yeah.
A comedian that I like says he has kind eyes. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. But anyways, yeah, he was... And he kept telling the director, I don't think I'm right for this part. This is not... I don't know if I can do this. And he had to keep being reassured, like, you know, you can do it. And so Mark Ruffalo said, I went into this thinking, I'm going to go as hard as I can. I see how hard Emma Stone's going. I'm either going to fail fantastically or this is going to be good. So I'm going to do my best.
Yeah.
And so he did. And now he's nominated too. So
there you go.
But if he wins and Emma Stone doesn't, I'll be pissed. Okay. Let's go through.
Oh,
yes. Go ahead.
Last thing. I'm just looking at the apparently this used a lot of painted sets. Like
you can tell
all the sets and stuff. But just like in the way they did it, they tried to do it like make these as old school as you can. Like
and
using
I
old school methods.
The vibe of looking out the window when we watched Rope a couple weeks ago. I'm like, this is the same.
Exactly.
Shit.
Exactly. Same shit. So anyway, just thought that was cool.
So I definitely had that same. I got that for sure. Also, I thought that one of the best things was like Emma Stone's hair, how like rad and black and how long it kept getting. Whatever.
Yeah.
By the end of the movie, it's 4 feet long.
Yeah.
But I guess it wasn't supposed to be black.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be brown. And I guess the stylist got the note wrong. And so dyed it like as black as possible. And they said it couldn't have worked out better. Like once the director saw it, they know this is what it should be.
Yeah. It's more surreal.
It is very surreal. Yeah. If it was brown, it makes it kind of more like, the way it's so black, it's like you're not even, you're not even like a person.
Yeah,
like you're just
like
what is this? It's very eerie. It's really cool. Okay, let's go through the plot. In Victorian London, the medical student McCandles, becomes assistant to the eccentric surgeon Godwin Baxter. I didn't pick up until the very end of the movie that his name was Godwin. But she's called him God, and I just thought that's what she would call him because he made her.
I did not realize until
later on. Probably too long, honestly. Max Candles falls in love with Godwin's ward, Bella, but she's a childlike woman, which gave me a weird vibe, honestly, when he was like, you could tell that he was being respectful about it, but he was developing feelings for him. Like, oh man, she's like three. Okay. Max learns that how Bella came to be was that a pregnant woman named Victoria, actually they don't know her name, killed herself by leaping off a bridge. Godwin replaced her brain of that of her unborn fetus, giving the infant Bella an adult's body. So, it's a lot to unpack.
Yeah.
I will say that incredibly dark, right? Like, that is like, what the fuck are you telling me? Like, a pregnant woman commits suicide. He takes off out the fetus, puts the brain in the person just to see if he can
into
do
the
it.
Into the mother's.
He could have revived the mother, but he thought that she decided to end her life. The baby had no choice in it, so might as well give her the life. But I liked how Willem Dafoe, who also was great in this movie, and the makeup effects.
Yeah, I didn't know he was going to be in this.
Oh, you didn't?
I didn't know anything. I didn't know anything going into this other than her and then Mark Ruffalo. I knew he was in it, but that's it.
That's all you knew.
Him showing up, it was like, oh, this is great. Oh, why is he burping like that?
That was, and that's the same stuff.
He has a fucking weird bubble.
And that's Babe Pig in the City vibes to me, where I'm just like, weird shit that would happen, and they would never explain it in Babe, but they kind of explain it in this movie, actually. But yeah, you know, I liked how weird it was, though. Like, this movie was so fucking weird, and I liked.
Yeah,
I liked it.
All yeah, all, everything had an odd vibe.
Yeah. So, anyways, but I liked when Willem Dafoe is basically tells the story to Max McCandles, and it was like, yeah. I will tell you the story because it's a happy one, and it's like. I like how you're considering this to be a happy story. Of
yeah.
Like pregnant woman committing suicide and you like coming back and like yeah. taking out her brain shit. But it explains Bella and who she is. And so she is the body of the mom who committed suicide, but the brain of the child that was in her womb combined. And so she is her mother and her daughter in the same person.
And again, you see them like working on her and things like that in a flashback and things right. like that. And again, this movie was more grotesque than I thought it was.
So grotesque.
They're like cutting her brain open and her head open. You see the brain, and I'm just like, wow,
we're
doing this.
It,
okay.
You see her, like, it's him, like, doing these, like, surgeries and looking at cadavers. Like, that's what his job is. And he just experiments on people.
Yeah.
And you see that his body is an experiment. And you find out throughout the movie that his dad did all the most fucked up experiments on him throughout his life. And that's why Willem Dafoe was as scarred as he is and is a eunuch and all these terrible things that happen yeah. to him. But never really seems to be mad about it. He mm-hmm. always is just like matter-of-fact science person playing, oh, that's what happened. That's what
yeah.
he did to me.
Yeah, you know? Yeah.
Really? I mean, I don't know what kind of genre. What genre is this movie, would you say? Is it a dark comedy?
Derek was saying, he's like, I think this is a black comedy.
I mean, it's very dark yeah. comedy, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess. I mean, it's like... There are parts you are laughing, but...
Yeah, it felt to me... and that's why we were talking about it. I was kind of... Not arguing with him, but just like... This was nominated in all the categories in the Golden Globes for comedy, and that felt wrong to
yeah,
me.
Yeah, see, that doesn't seem right.
Yeah, but then he's like, well, the whole thing is a dark comedy. I'm like, yeah.
But
I don't know. I wouldn't peg it with that, though. I don't know.
To have this
know.
Be in the category of musical or comedy,
yeah,
that does not...
Seems weird. Track.
It is more of a drama than a comedy. But I don't know, because movies like this don't really get their own genre.
Yeah.
Because it's like an artsy movie.
But that's what I kind of like, a movie that you actually don't know what genre to put it in. I think that's a good thing.
Yeah, it definitely was a movie where I'm glad we didn't record this the second I walked out of the theater, because I wouldn't know what to say.
Yeah, yeah.
I think I had to sit on it for a couple days to be like, what did I really think of this movie? And
yes.
I honestly didn't like even... So, I think I said in the podcast, Emma saw this movie and walked out because she was too uncomfortable with it.
Not Emma Stone.
Oh, my Emma.
Yeah, different Emma.
Yeah, my daughter. She and her couple college friends, they just couldn't hang. And so she was like, well, what did you think? And that was the first time I'm like, what did I think? And then I had like, you know, I talked to her about it, but it's like,
yeah.
But it was so much thrown at you at once that it was kind
yeah.
of hard just to.
Like, I didn't know either. I didn't know either when I walked out.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, but that's not a bad thing.
Yeah.
A movie that makes you think about it a couple days later, I think is you've done your job. Like, you know, I got my money's worth at least for sure. If it sucks, I'm going to know right away it sucks. And this wasn't that. Okay, so with Godwin's encouragement, Max asks for Bella's hand in marriage. I don't know how old she's supposed to be in this moment, but, you know.
Yeah.
Not a child, but definitely not old.
Yeah.
I thought that the way that Emma Stone, like, she's acting throughout this movie, and it keeps changing. And it must be really hard, you know, because I'm assuming they didn't film this in order to know, like, wait, what age am I to,
yeah.
to act with this?
How far have I gone at this point? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, which I, you know, like, I'm watching her grow and build throughout the movie, and you see, like, oh, she's walking better. Oh, she's talking better, whatever. But, yeah, like, how do you go back to that? If, like, okay, now you go back to the three-year-old for this shot. Now
yeah.
go back to the, you know, woman in this shot. Like, I that's, again, very impressive to me.
Yeah.
Okay, so Max does ask for Bella's hand in marriage. Bella accepts, but as her intelligence rapidly develops, she becomes curious about the outside world. She runs off with a debauched lawyer, Duncan Wedderburn, which is Mark Ruffalo. And then deciding to let her go, Godwin starts a new experiment with a young woman, Felicity, who matures much more slowly than Bella, which I was happy to see her.
Margaret Qualley.
I love her.
Yeah, she's great. I didn't know she was in this either.
I didn't know she was in it either.
Yeah.
And She was in The Leftovers. She's in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. But she's great. Always happy to see her. So I was really happy, actually, to see her, too.
Yeah, me too. So basically the gist of... Sorry, I don't know if you want if you want me to...
No.
But yeah, she goes out. This dude asks for Bella to leave with her. She's like, I want to see the world. And this guy is showing me cool tricks, you know, furious jumping. It's like
furious jumping, yeah.
Yeah, I think you mean banging. Okay. She's doing that. And then, yeah, back at home, Godwin is makes another one, kind of, basically.
Yeah, but I kind of feel like it's not like he like kills these women or anything like deviant.
Yeah.
Like he's finding these bodies. Like, well, they're here. I got a body here. Might as well do something with it.
Yeah.
And I'll make
that's what he knows how to do.
Experiment out of it. Exactly. Yeah. And you never get a sense of him being like evil. He's not evil. And I guess there's a real villain in this movie. It would be the Mark Ruffalo character, but even he
is kind of just the world, the way that Emma Stone is treated,
which is kind of like Bella. You kind of see like exactly actually that it is the world. Like it is just like how she's innocent and pure, and like she's discovering like sexuality and stuff like that.
Yeah, yeah, but it's almost like everything that isn't her is mad at her for those discoveries.
Right, and tries to like stop her.
Yeah, like. And she's like, what? Okay. Like, it really, when you throw someone with new baby brain out into the world, how many things don't make sense.
Right.
Like, we're used to them. Just like homeboy over there is used to making, Frankensteins or whatever.
Yeah.
That's his life. It's not weird to him. There are things that aren't weird to us. And then she goes out and is like, what? Furious jumping. Why aren't people doing this all the time?
Yeah, this is awesome. I don't know.
Yeah. That baby's making a ton. I mean, there's times that she's wrong too.
Yeah.
Well, that baby's making a ton of noise, so I should punch it. No. Well, no, you can't do that. Okay. I think we're all on that side of don't punch
don't,
baby.
Don't do that.
You know?
Don't do that.
But it's just her in those kinds of situations. Whatever. They travel and all that stuff. But she starts to kind of like. Is it okay that I'm kind of carrying on with this?
Absolutely.
All I was gonna say was. It she kind of starts to hit a wall with what's it, Duncan? Is that his name?
Yeah.
Mark Ruffalo's character, Duncan. She kind of starts to, he's being really controlling, kind of.
Yeah, well, he's a fucking asshole.
Like, yeah. More and more, it's like, oh, she thought this was like, oh, sweep her off her feet kind of thing. It's like, no, this guy like is mad when she shows up, she goes to talk to somebody else. He's jealous. He's an ass. He is an asshole. And so she's starting to raise complaints, but then all of a sudden, she wakes up one day and what's going on? And she was in a fucking trunk that he put her in, and now they're on a cruise ship.
And she's stuck at sea.
Oh, change of scenery. Well, yeah, now I'm stuck on this boat with you, dumbass. Yeah.
But I really think that, and he even says it in the movie, that his initial thing was to like love her and leave her, essentially.
Yeah.
He was going to just use her up until he was done with her and then toss her aside.
Yeah.
But she was interesting to him and captivating to him, and he ended up falling for her.
Yeah.
But she never gave a fuck about him.
Yeah.
Like, I think he could have left her and she wouldn't have cared, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe because she didn't do any more furious jumping, but like for the most part, like she wouldn't have cared.
Yeah.
And so, this is the moment where you kind of see like, oh, he's like obsessed with her.
Yeah.
And then kidnapping her. And she's just like, get me the fuck away from this guy. He sucks.
Yeah. Yeah. And, so they're stuck on this boat. He got her on this cruise ship. They're stuck on the boat now. Well, now you can't go anywhere. See, won't this be great for us? Won't it be? It's like, oh, yeah. It's that. It's almost a little bit, maybe there's a little bit of symbolism here. Tell me if I'm overreaching.
Yeah.
Both you and, again, commenters, tell me if I'm overreaching here. I almost feel like that the cruise ship is almost, is it symbolic of marriage?
Oh,
and I'm not saying it's using marriage as a bad thing, but people do use it as this will put an end to this shit happening in our relationship. People use it as like a nuke.
Sure.
Like, oh, we're having trouble. Well, marriage put a fucking end to that. Yeah, I don't know if that's the best way to start a marriage.
Well, I mean, maybe.
Because I just felt like he did that. Like, this will solve our problems. Now we're bound together. Now we're whatever. And then I feel like while they were on the boat, Bella was seeing other people kind of in their own unions with other people. And, you know, they meet that older woman. And yeah. She's like unfazed. She's like, oh, yeah, shit sucks. You know, yeah. Whatever. And, you know, at one point, Duncan gets into an argument with her. Like, if you keep talking to Bella, I'm going to push you off the fucking boat. Yeah, push me over the boat. Okay, I'm doing it. And he's pushing the chair. And she's like, yeah, push me harder so I'll go over the edge. Make sure, you know, she's heard it from every dude on earth, you know. And she's there with another dude. But I don't know what their relationship is. They're just buddies. They're just friends, I think.
I thought like maybe he was like in charge of taking care of her or something.
But yeah, maybe.
He seemed more regal than that.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's what it was.
But I think both of them were people that had seen all this shit the world has done
to
them.
And it's like, they represent something. I can't tell you what.
Yeah. And it's kind of like they see what's going on with Bella and they're like, yo, this guy sucks. They've both seen, and I wonder if it's like she's an older woman, so she's dealt with it with men before. And maybe he, you know, this guy's a black guy. Maybe in that world, you know, this world, it's totally super, you know, this is like a period piece kind of thing.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. So maybe he's dealt with his own fucking bullshit with people, and they both have this experience where they're telling Bella, yo, the world's like this and this and this and this. And that's how it fucking is. And da 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 da. You know what I mean? Like maybe they both have their own stock of experiences that's why they bond.
Well, he
with
definitely
Bella.
Does because there is that part where Duncan is becoming obsessed with like drinking and gambling, and
yeah,
he basically wants to drink and gamble and then have sex with Bella when he wants.
Yeah,
and just kind of keep her in the trunk or the room until he's ready for her.
Again, these are foundations of bad marriages.
That's a pretty.
Maybe
bad
there's some of that into this. That's I don't know.
So that guy, I forget his name, the character's name, but he takes Bella to show her the real world when they have a stopover in Alexandria.
Yeah,
and he basically shows her like down below are the people who are dying and starving and the world is fucked. And most of the people are these people and we're not going to help them because there's no point, you know, kind of
like, what can we do?
What can we do?
Give them all this money and there's a million starving people.
Yeah.
What
like I
do?
Can give them all. Like, yeah. Which, give them all the money we have. They're not going
to
be helped.
Which this was also a great device to show this because we always talk about that with fucking cruises.
Cruise, yeah,
you all. It's always like, oh, look, and we're gonna stop off at this port, and you know, everyone there is in poverty, and
that's
it's like, yeah, okay, go play on the beach.
The cruise I did to Mexico was that, and I was just like, and you can't take food off the boat. It's like, but there's infinite food there,
yeah.
And this person's hungry. I can't just give them some food.
Yeah,
no,
yeah, yeah.
It's like ah.
Yeah. So
what?
Using this cruise was a great vehicle to show.
Yeah.
In the inequality and the injustice.
I did not feel good about that. And
yeah,
I was
yeah.
taking food out to people because I felt weird. You know, I felt like an asshole.
So they show kind of an exaggerated visual of this, but not real. I mean, you know, but it's a real thing.
It did show Bella, and that I think was a big learning moment to her. And you see her grow. Like, I know that, like, right now, you know, speaking of my kids, like, Sawyer is now, you know, 11, and she is learning about things in life that are hard, in history that's hard.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Things that you would not teach a five-year-old, but you're teaching an 11-year-old, like, hey, this is the world, actually. And it's, you know, she hasn't gotten to, like, the real fucked up stuff, but it's getting to be like, oh, man, they're, like, learn about slaves and, like, all this terrible things. And that's what she is learning, like, firsthand here. You see Bella learning all this fucked up stuff, and she has to come to terms with it, which is not easy. You know, I remember being in world history class in high school, and, like, I knew what the Holocaust was. I thought.
Yeah.
And then I'm learning about it. I'm like, this is way worse than I thought it was.
Yeah.
You know, I didn't know. Like, it's fucking awful. So, anyways.
Everyone at home, Holocaust.
Look it up.
Terrible.
You're not going to
be stoked. I do have people every now and then telling me, like, yeah, my so-and-so, my brother's in school, my sibling's in school, and they didn't cover that.
What?
Like, what?
Well, huh? I can tell you that Beckett is currently learning about it, so I can tell you that is not the case.
Because I remember we had a pretty heavy segment on that.
We watched Schindler's List.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which is...
I don't think I did in school. Oh. I didn't, but we had a very lengthy... We watched other movies.
I watched Schindler's List, and that was my first class of the day. And what a terrible way to start off your day. It was like, watch an hour of this, and I'll go to the rest of school. Like, I'm a little fucked up. And then, like, I remember just being, like, depressed the next 3 days of school. Like, I've got, oh, God, this fucking movie is so sad. I don't know. So So that was my experience.
Oh, yeah. Man.
It's a lot. Yeah. Great movie, though. Okay, so Bella and... Okay, so what happens is Bella sees this. At the same time, Mark Ruffalo wins a shitload of money and passes out. She sees all the money in the room, and she takes all of it and gives it to two crew members. Like, I saw the poor people. Please give these to the poor people.
Hey, go give this shit to the poor people.
So those guys are like, yeah, we'll give it to the poor people. Yeah, totally. We gotcha. So obviously they just took the money for themselves.
Yeah.
Mark Ruffalo now has no money to his name. He is destitute. And so they kick him off at the next stop, which happens to be Marcel in Paris. Right? You know, it's just Paris.
Yeah, they go to Paris.
Okay, so they're in Paris. They're freezing. Bella tries to figure out a way to make money. Finds out if she has sex with people, they'll pay her for that. And so she...
Yeah, she goes to a hotel where they're doing that kind of stuff. And she goes, oh, I will try whoring. I will be... okay. The whoring seems like an easy way to deal with this. Mm-hmm. I like the furious jumping. They will give me money, you know, whatever. But again, it's that classic thing of like, this is logical to her.
Right.
Like, and they're going, no, how could you do that?
Easy way to make money. He's going to be stoked. She tells him what she did to get the money.
Yeah.
He's not stoked.
No.
But obviously he was already going crazy. And then she's like, you know what? That's the point too. She's like, all right, fuck this guy. Like, I'm over you. Like, I used to, you know, feel good when I saw you. I do not feel that way.
She's having fully adult thoughts now. Yeah. Like she was goofy throughout the movie, but she's starting to have like fully formed adult, you know, she's having full ass thoughts now.
Yeah. Yeah. So then she goes to the brothel and becomes a prostitute for a big chunk of the movie. Now, this is the part where I think a lot of people, I mean, it's very graphic.
Yeah, she's going through a lot of different sex stuff with a lot of different customers.
Right. Basically. And a lot of it is like, oh, man, like there was a guy who was like crawling and I don't know if it was a prosthetic or I have no idea. Maybe he just is a different face. I'm not sure. But like, it's like, oh, what is this movie? Yeah. Like, it's wild.
Everybody has a weird thing.
Yeah. But, you know, and then she talks to the what's the person who runs the brothel? What's that person's name?
Madam Sweeney? Sweeney?
Yeah. But she is like, why can't we choose the people we want to have sex with? Like, then everyone's happy.
Yeah.
And then she's like, that's not how this works. Like, yeah, but why not? Like, if we're having sex with them, wouldn't they feel good if we chose them?
Yeah.
I guess that's, but she's like, but some people like the fact that you don't like it, which is like, again, so fucked up.
It is all tinted by a man's world, you know, kind of thing. It all has that tinge to it. Yeah.
Which, I mean, and you know, but again, she's the one trying to break the norms. They're like, well, why does it have to be that way?
Exactly.
Fuck this.
And that's what I kind of disconnected in the movie. It is a man's world. Like, let go.
Stop.
Stop.
You're not on Twitter, Rocco, okay?
I'm just joking.
I know. I know. I know that.
I did tweet that after Barbie did not get nominated. Or no,
Margot
Robbie did not. Which, symbolically, really is fucking funny that that movie comes out. Oh, we nominated Ken. We didn't nominate Barbie. Yeah. Like performance wise, I don't think any of them were gonna win anyway. So whatever. But just visually, it looks horrible.
You know what? Like at that point, just don't give Ryan Gosling the nomination. Yeah,
it just looked so bad.
The director, I forget her name.
Greta Gerwig.
Yeah, she should be nominated. I think.
I don't know if that movie's that exceptionally directed.
I think the directing is pretty... I mean, like, the fact that we're even talking about the Barbie movie
being
anything, think...
Yeah, she should... Yeah, yeah. I think the script should actually fucking win. Yeah. Like, the script... Like, how did you write a Barbie movie and make it, like, resonate?
And compelling.
That's kind of amazing. You know, directing... I don't... Yeah, but yeah, there was a lot of... she should be nominated. You're right. She should be nominated. Yeah, I don't know about winning, but yeah, I mean, you can't. I mean, that made a mark on a lot of people.
Yeah. I don't know. I think, like, if she had been nominated, I think it would be a different story. But
here
we are. Didn't
but the Margot Robbie thing, though, that was, that just looked
But Margot
bad.
Robbie was also great in that movie, you know. Mm-hmm. But Emma Stone in this movie
It's Ken's world.
It's a Ken's world.
No, Emma Stone, incredible.
So, this is like, you see a lot of fucked up sex acts, which is the part lost Emma. But she made it so far. She was there at the end, but she just couldn't finish it. I guess the part that really fucked her up was when the dad was having sex with Bella and then the sons were there taking notes. Like, that was fucking weird.
Yeah, yeah.
But again, like, Bella doesn't seem to be like, she's never upset by any of it. She's just like, man, yeah. I mean, sometimes I don't like this. You know, she's yeah. kind of giving them notes too. But yeah. it was like, yeah, it's definitely a creepy scene for sure. Yeah. You know,
I will say one of my only, I have like two kind of big gripes with this movie. Mm-hmm. And I'll share the first one now. I felt like around this time, there's none of these parts I don't like, but I felt like it was getting a little long in the tooth around here.
I
felt like this movie's getting a little long.
Well, that's what I was going to say as well. And like, there was not a single chunk of this movie I would cut. I thought it would be the next part, but it's not the case.
I think I know what you're talking about, and I agree. But yeah,
because I'll get to it in a second. But yeah. I will say that like, I didn't need 15 minutes of her having sex with different people. I got it.
I liked the montage of it, but I felt like there were one too many discussions about her. I say her whoring because that's how she says it in the movie, but I feel like they discussed it a lot. Yeah. Okay. I felt like you could have probably cut all this in half and it would have been fine.
Yeah.
And I would have got the point. But there's no individual scene where I'm like, oh, cut this out. Like, not at all.
After this, she becomes friends with another prostitute named Tonette. I'm not sure. It's a French name. Who introduces her to the idea of socialism. So now she gets a postcard from Max McCandles way back in the beginning of the movie. Her old fiance says that Godwin is dying and asks Bella to return to him. So Bella ends up making her way back to see Godwin.
Yeah.
Because Willem Dafoe basically comes clean as like, yeah, I should have never become attached to my experiments. That's where I failed. My father never became attached to me. You know, I shouldn't have done that. And that's why with the new girl we talked about, I forget her name.
But yeah, yeah. The girl from Margaret Qualley, yeah. Whatever.
He was kind of like a dick to her. But he was just cold. He wasn't being like mean, but he was just being like, Bella became my daughter and that should have never happened. I should never have been like emotionally attached to her because I miss Della and I love Bella.
Yeah.
Bella comes back to visit him on his deathbed and it kind of seems to be a happy reunion. Max is happy to see her.
Yeah.
Bella then proposes to Max, which I thought was nice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, you know, I liked the idea of, I am all for women also proposing to men. That is a total, like, but that is not the norm thing to do, especially back in Victoria era days. But I like Bella being like, well, why can't I be the one to do this? Like, that makes no sense.
Yeah.
She's right. Like, it makes no sense. She should be able to do that if she wants to.
Yeah.
And so he says, yes, they're at the wedding, at the ceremony. And right before they could say, I do, who walks in? Mark Ruffalo, that fucker who looks terrible. He's
he looks like he's gone through hell.
But he found Bella's original husband. And by that, I mean the person who was in Bella's body before Victoria, I think,
mm-hmm.
finds the husband of the person she was before.
Yeah, when she killed herself at the beginning of the movie.
Which is, I was like, oh. Like, that was a super interesting twist to me.
Yeah. For whatever reason, I didn't think they were going to touch on that in the movie. I thought they were just going to move on. Like, she used to be someone else, but now this is her. And I didn't think we'd get her past life.
Which
was really cool.
I thought, and that's the thing is, like, the second the wedding was interrupted, I saw Mark Ruffalo, I was like, oh, you're losing me. Like, you in the fucking movie. But I was so compelled. Well, actually, I do want to find out what happened. You know, I thought it was not.
The movie is naturally wrapping. The movie was naturally wrapping up at the wedding. So to add one more thing, this felt like a James Cameron, like one more thing that he would do in his movies.
Which I normally don't like.
Yeah, yeah.
This time.
But I was like, okay.
I was like, I'm interested.
This is an interesting turn.
And when
she
said she'd go off with him, I was like, well, I want to see what's doing. I'm curious. I felt bad for that Max guy who got left at the altar, you know, again.
Yeah.
Goes off into the carriage with this guy. I guess, you know what? This guy is the villain of this movie.
Yeah, really. And Emma Stone, Bella, whatever, is like, no, I want to go with him.
Yeah, I'm going to go.
I'm going to go with him. Like, she wants to know everything about everything, you know? So she's like, they don't think she's going to go for this. And she's like, no, I am. I'll go. This guy was my husband. Yeah. You want me to go with you? Yeah, I'll go with you. Let's go.
Right. And so goes with this guy who tunes out. I thought Mark Ruffalo was bad. This guy is a fucking monster.
Yeah, yeah.
General Alfie Blessington, a victorious husband.
A great name.
I know, right? Basically takes her to their big chateau, locks her in away, and you see that he is basically the biggest, I don't know what the word is, but he just points a gun at everyone all the time. Always pointing the same gun.
Like, hey, Bella, you remember, you know what you used to, well, actually he calls her by her real Victoria. Name, I think, Victoria. And he's like, yeah, you remember you had the same sense of humor as me. Like, you know, check this out. Hey, bring me a fucking chicken or whatever, the maid. He points the gun at the maid. Can you get me that? Okay, yeah, sure. And then he's like, and calls it his little pit bull.
Yeah.
And it scares her so bad she spills all, like, the food.
The hot soup all over herself.
Yeah.
And then scolding, and she's like, all, like, he's laughing.
And he's laughing like, see, you'd find that funny. And she was like, oh, wow, I used to find that funny, huh? Okay, yeah. All right.
Yeah.
And
so, yeah, you see, like, but his only real power is just threatening people with a stupid gun. Like, he looks like an idiot.
Yeah.
And, like, honestly.
But he thinks, he's like, I'm powerful. Yeah, you can't fuck with me.
It was, they used that bit. This part of the movie is not very long, but he must have pulled a gun on someone at least 20 times.
Yeah.
And it was just like, yo, this guy fucking sucks. Like, do something different at least.
Yeah.
God damn. So then, Bella's like, I want to get the fuck out of here. Like, you suck. I see why I killed myself before. You're pretty awful. I'm going to go. And he's like, no, you're my prisoner here. You're going to be here forever.
Yeah, you're mine.
Yeah. Then he threatens her at gunpoint to... she overhears that they're going to have surgery on her and perform a genital mutilation on her so she doesn't have sex anymore.
Yeah, he's like, this is what her problem is. She's so fucking horned up. You know, she's not she's not ever going to listen to me. She's all horned up, wanting to do all act up. You know, we're going to put an end to that, aren't we?
So then, like, at gunpoint, it's like, you're going to drink this drink and be put out. And then when you wake up, this will be taken care of. So she obviously, he gives the drink. It's like, well, she's not going to you don't know who you're fucking with, bro.
Yeah.
Bella's not going to stand for this shit.
Yeah, yeah.
So she throws the drink at him. He shoots himself in the foot and then passes out because he inhaled all the chloroform. And then she takes him back to the lab. And now I'm on board. I don't know what you're going to do, this fucker. But go right ahead. There's no wrong answer here. So she escapes. The guy's in the lab. And then you see Willem Dafoe die. And then it cuts to kind of like... You know,
yeah, Willem Dafoe passes away.
And it's like, for me, I thought, like, okay, like, I could see where some things are going here.
Yeah.
It ends, the last scene is like Bella in the courtyard. She seems to be like owning this house now. It's her house. But I think she's married to Max, I think. I'm assuming so.
Assuming
they got married.
Friend from the brothel is there too.
She's there too. Everyone seems to be pretty happy. Then you see that fuckhead, general guy, husband, and he is now grazing on grass because she put a goat's brain inside his head.
Yeah, you saw a goat in the laboratory this whole time. They swapped brains.
Right.
So he's going and chewing grass. And it kind of ends there, like big musical flourish. She's reading a book. She's loving life. She's just accepting it. She's got her husband.
Yeah.
She's got this girl. I don't know what's going on there, but maybe more than whatever.
Then
but
she has that other, the new Bella, Victoria?
Yeah.
Whatever her name
whatever
is.
Not Victoria.
But
not Victoria. Yeah.
Yeah. Whatever.
But she's there too. She's having a good one. And this shithead is just eating grass, you know, basic goat tendencies to live out his life. That's it.
Now, I was surprised, honestly, that I mean, you saw her do the operation with the guy. And cuts to a goat screaming. Yeah. So it leads you to believe she can put the goat brain in him.
Yeah.
But I was like, I wonder if she's going to put the Willem Dafoe brain in this body.
That's what I thought was going to happen. I thought she was going to move Dafoe's brain into his body so that he's cool and then maybe put the dude's brain in the goat. So he's just like, no, I'm a goat. Well, this sucks.
I just thought, like, because the whole thing was
that would
like
have been the best last line of the
Willem
movie.
Willem Dafoe's body was so mangled and fucked up.
I thought she was going to move his brain.
Chance to, like, be like a person.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, well, yeah.
He would have had a cool new younger body.
Who, you know, besides the fucking fact that the guy was a monster, yeah. Handsome guy.
Yeah.
You know, he could have, like, lived a life.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And then I thought, like I said, they put the asshole's brain into a goat. So the last line of the movie would be all of them together, and then the goat would turn to the camera. Well, this didn't turn out so good, did it? And go, boop, onto him like a Looney Tune. That would have been funny.
Yeah.
No, I didn't think about that. I did think they were going to switch his brain.
Yeah. Which I guess they want to, you know, subvert our expectations. So yeah, that's what they did.
That's good.
Which is fine.
But I will say, it ended fine, ended good. But I will say, this is my other gripe about the movie. I loved how The Favorite ended. The Favorite ended in a very weird
Can you
scene.
Remind me of that?
Like, she was, the queen was like sick at the end. Mm-hmm. And then it was like, you know, Emma Stone, who had like fought to, you know, I guess I'm spoiling it. I don't know. Whatever. But Emma Stone had fought so far to get in the queen's favor, right, and all that. And now she's having to like clean up after the queen,
yeah,
and whatever.
What really like.
And then it starts to show ghastly images of rabbits, more rabbits,
the rabbits that she had,
more of them while she's cleaning the queen's like feet or something. I don't know. I haven't seen this in years, so yeah, I may be wrong on that. But it was just weirder and weirder. And then credits. It was like, ooh, that was a weird ending. Mm. I think the ending in this is kind
of
too, for such a weird and unusual movie.
Put too much of a bow on it.
It's too cute to me. That asshole. Well, now he's a goat.
I can see that.
Well, sorry to this dude who sucked. Now he's eating grass like a goat. I don't know. I didn't like that. To me, don't get me wrong. Perfectly fine ending. They wrapped it up.
Yeah.
I don't know. Just given what I saw in The Favorite, I would have liked a weird. Give me a weird thing to end this one on. I don't know.
Too
perfect.
You're not crazy.
Yeah.
I think it's a valid point. I almost feel like, would it have been better to know that she performed an operation on that guy, but not knowing which brain she put in or something like that? Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Was it Godwin or was it the goat? You'll never really know the answer. You know, maybe something like that where it's like, you got to figure out yourself. I don't know.
I don't like she switched. No, she put the homeboy, whatever, Green Goblin, put his brain in the handsome dude's body. And then you just see the goat's face. Like, maybe he doesn't say anything, but he just sees it and he's going like that. And it's like, oh, I bet the dude is in there, but you don't know.
I don't know.
That's what I would have done. Yo, your ghost. You want to know how to make a movie? Call this guy.
And no, also, you don't need fisheye lenses. I'm joking.
Yeah,
that was
you
actually,
don't.
I really, whenever they cut to that, I always liked it, even though it was very weird.
I love an eccentric use of the fisheye lens. Yep. I always do. Going all the way back to, this is going to sound, don't get me started on this, but End of Evangelion. That's an animated movie, but there were shots that they would simulate a fisheye, and I just thought, like, ooh, that effect is just certain awkward moments you have that. It's just, ooh, why are you using that? I've always looked for that in key moments like that, and this movie utilized it perfectly. So, anyway, those are my only two gripes. I kind of felt like it was a little long. The movie in general, little long in the tooth. Wouldn't have cut anything. Just, you know, felt like it was a little long. Could have trimmed it down. The ending a little too cute for my tastes. That's not how I like a movie to end, but it also isn't like, what a terrible ending. It's perfectly good ending. That's just me being an asshole, you know, picking it apart.
All right. Well, is there anything else you want to say about this movie, or should we do some shakers?
I think I'm good for shakers.
Okay. You picked it. We both picked it. Yeah.
Sure. I mean, I've said everything. It was more grotesque than I thought.
Yes.
But it took me on a journey, and you know, again, I look at it as, what other movie can you point to that's just like this? I've seen other people review it that say this is like the Barbie movie for people who listen to Bjork. I saw a tweet that said that. I thought that was a great description. But then every review you look on, like Letterboxd, every review is like, this is like a better Barbie movie. This is a better, I don't know. I don't, it's not Barbie. I don't know. But there's similar things to take from it in terms of like learning about the world and who's fucking really running it and your place in all of that. So I get that, I guess. But I can't think of another movie that was executed this way and actually worked, at least. It's very unique. So I have to give points for the uniqueness. I don't know how much I'm racing to see it again, like right now, but I would watch it again at some point. Sure. So part of me, I can't decide. Part of me wants to give it a 4 because I thought it was pretty exceptional. Another part of me wants to give it a 3 because I don't know if I'm going to watch it. I don't know if I'm racing to see it again. Usually 4 and higher, I give that to something like, yo, I want to see this again and again.
What? I feel like,
I don't know.
For me, I gave Portrait of a Lady on Fire 5. Loved that movie.
I think I did too.
I haven't seen it again. I don't know if I ever will.
That's true. I don't know if I'm racing to see that again either.
It was a beautiful movie though. So yeah. That's just how I judge it, not you.
Yeah.
But for me, that doesn't really play into it, I don't think.
Yeah. I don't know. I'll give it, just for the uniqueness of it. And again, the music. 10 out of 10. Performance, 10 out of 10, yeah. I don't know if this is my kind of story that I always like, but I liked it very much here. I think 4 is fair. I think I'll stick with the 4. I think it was pretty, you should see it.
Yeah. For me, I think I agree with everything you're saying. Like, I thought the performances alone, but not just that, like, I'm looking at all the 11 things it was nominated for.
Yeah.
And if you told me it won for any one of those things, I'd be like,
make sense.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
I would absolutely agree.
Every technical award, every acting award, I wouldn't make
sense. Directing, cinematography, costumes, everything. If it won all 11 categories it was nominated for, I'd be like, all right, I get it. So to me, that means that's a successful movie. If it's, I'm talking about 11 Academy Awards, and it's like, yeah, it deserves all of those. It probably won't win all 11, but if it did, I would have no complaints.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm going to also give it a 4.
Cool.
I know the purpose of it was to go to be grotesque and extreme, and they definitely did that. Normally, that is not my jam.
Yeah, even me, I walk a line with that. I
thought, even the stuff with the sex scenes were a lot, and I was uncomfortable. But I think that was the whole point.
Yeah.
The cadaver scenes, stabbing the cadaver's eyeballs out. That was a lot, but I think
with any of that though, I never. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead. Okay.
All I was gonna say was that kind of shit. When I can read that the movie is sending out push your button energy, there are movies that are look what we just did. we just did that. Oh, that energy exudes from it. I actually didn't feel it in this movie.
Yeah,
I felt like it was all there. It was like, yeah, it's part of this weird fucking world.
And I think it really just wanted to put you in that world and show you that they weren't holding anything back.
Yeah, so. Exactly. But I never felt like they were trying to push my buttons. I hate when I can feel the energy that a movie is like, isn't this weird? Yeah, and look at this. Yeah. Didn't feel that here at all. It felt like I had walked into this world.
Well,
and I was
honestly
just there.
Feel too that they went the filmmaking of it with the kind of wide eye exploration sense of Bella. So they kind of made it seem like she was directing it a little bit. It wasn't gross because she was never grossed out.
Yep.
She was never upset. So I wasn't upset.
Yep.
She was just kind of exploring things and figuring things out for herself.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it was fucking terrible and grotesque. Sometimes it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. So it was a lot of different things that happened in this movie.
Yep.
So that's Poor Things. Hope you're able to see it in theaters and me, had to sneak in and find the last showing of it. But I did. I saw it. What we're watching next year, as we talked about.
Next week. Not next year. 2025.
Well,
you want to wait.
A couple times.
Okay.
Next week, we will be covering, as you already know, The Holdovers. We kind of decided last week that we kind of just do Poor Things, The Holdovers. And maybe we have time for another Oscar nominee.
Yeah, what should be after that?
I don't know. We'll talk about it. We'll see what else has been nominated a lot. So. But check out The Holdovers with Paul Giamatti. I think it's on Hulu or Peacock.
Peacock. I saw it on Peacock.
Okay. It's on Peacock. Watch it there. Way easier to watch than this movie.
It might have gotten another theatrical run, too, but I may be wrong on that.
Okay. Well,
I don't know.
We'll see you. We'll see you next week. And thanks for watching, as always. We'll see you and love you. Goodbye.
And I hope you don't mind my whoring.